Well, good morning. I wrote a couple words up here on the board. Perspective and prospective. Prospective, yes. So, perspective and prospective. I don't mean for it to be a tongue twister, but, you know, we have words in our English language that sometimes the sound is close, and sometimes the meanings are, you think sometimes that they're close, and then you start looking at it and realize that it's a little bit different. So I'll read you a definition about perspective. It's definition I found was a particular attitude toward or way of regarding something, a point of view, current or present state. Okay? So perspective. So this morning, all of us can have different perspectives about a lot of things. Right now, my perspective of the chapel is towards the south, and your perspective of the chapel is towards the north. I see windows. I see faces, multiple faces, and you don't see any windows directly in front of you, and you only see one face looking back at you, and I see several. So our perspective, I'm standing on something that's higher than where what my feet are on is about at the same level as what you're sitting on. So the odds of you seeing the top of my head is not very good, but the odds of me seeing the top of your head is very realistic. And so it's very simple, you know, how we're looking at something changes what we see, right? And we probably also heard the illustration of the blind men and their perspective of an elephant. And every one of them had a hold of something different of the elephant. One, I think, had a hold of the trunk and one of the tail and one of his ear. And maybe the other one was touching his side or something like that, or maybe one of his legs. And I don't remember all the details of that little story, but I just know that the blind men's perspective of the elephant were different from one another, and they would have been different than someone that had sight that was looking at an elephant. You don't have to touch an elephant to have a perspective of it, but these blind men were touching it, and they come away from a perspective or with a perspective about an elephant. A prospect or perspective of something is the perspective of a person is an expected or expecting to be something particular or specific in the future. It's a future or hopeful state. So prospective means that it's not just what I see or perceive. Maybe it's touch. Maybe it's what I hear. But prospective is what we visualize in the future. And all of us have different perspectives by what the direction we're pointed, and what we are taking information in with, But we also have different prospects, or what appears to be a perspective for us. Okay? So there was a time in my life that the prospective of reaching retirement age was so unrealistic that I didn't spend any time thinking about it. But that prospect is very realistic for me now. And it ain't going to be very long, and I'm going to have to just decide when, not if. All right? There may be other things that come on the horizon that help me make that decision, and I don't know what those are. Different ones of us here meet different things, and our perspective can change, but also our prospective can change too. All right? So I would like to read a story that's in the scripture. Got your Bibles? Let's open it up to Numbers chapter 13. And I want to read most of this little story. And I'm sure most of us are somewhat familiar with it, but we'll read several verses here. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All these men were heads of the children of Israel. And these are the names..." And he goes through and lists them all. I'm not going to read all of that. But I am going to point out that in verse 6, it says of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. All right? And also down here, I'm overlooking it now. Eighth verse, of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun. And this Oshea was, it tells us in verse 16, that Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. All right? So, those were two names that I think all of us are familiar with that were among these 12 men that went to search out the land. So we're going to pick up reading again in verse 17. "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, Go ye up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether there be strong or weak, or few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in stronghold, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was of the first ripe grapes." And we'll stop right there for just a minute. So Moses said, "I want you to go and give us your perspective of the land. I want you to go look at it. I want you to observe the resources that's there. I want you to observe the lay of the land. I want you to observe the people that live there. I want you to be able to pay attention to whether there's a lot of people or a few people, whether they be strong people, maybe well-prepared people, or if they live careless, reckless lives. I just I want you to bring back a perspective, because we can't see, right? There are things in my occupation that I depend on something else, like sometimes it's a borescope, and sometimes it's an oscilloscope, and sometimes it's a pressure gauge. And I'm looking for information so I can have a perspective of what's going on. But he's not only, why did he want a perspective of the land? Why did he want a perspective? Why is it important for us to have a perspective? Well, for the sake of the discussion, I'm going to give you an answer. And the answer is so we can have a prospective. The reason we need a perspective is so we can have a prospective. We can project from our perspective what we could potentially happen in the future. Why did Moses send these 12 men? He wanted them to be able to come back and say, this is what's over there. This is what we can expect to find. And if we will go, Moses wanted to be able to take their perspective and communicate to the people, if we can go, then this is what the prospective is for us. Okay? So, it says here that, so they went up and searched the land. I'm in verse 21. From the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came to Hebron, where Ahiman and Shishai and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch. I don't know. It had to be as big as my arm. Cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes. And that word Eshcol means cluster, which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the lands after 40 days. So 40 days, get a pretty good perspective, right? Get a pretty good understanding. You're able to regard a lot of things in 40 days. We had a man not too long ago, back during the summer or spring. He came to the shop there where I work, and he wanted to come and get a perspective. And he was contemplating coming to work for us, and so he came, and I guess you would say he jobs. We've had two people that done this, came and job shadowed, and just kind of got a feel for how things go. And one of them hired on and one of them didn't. And I don't know all the reasons, but they come for the reason of getting a perspective of how we done business. Okay? So Moses wanted these men to go and be able to come back and give the people a perspective. Now, every one of us here individually has a perspective. But collectively, we have a perspective too. We're not all going to see everything exactly the same. Brother Rob mentioned earlier, he was so thankful for the Church of God. Now, he's got a perspective that drove him to say that, right? Now, I hope that everybody has the same perspective that he has that motivated him to say that. But, you know, in a group of people, we don't have to get a very big group of people before we might have a different perspective on what Brother Rob's perspective is. I'm not picking on you, Brother Rob. I just want us to understand what perspective is. And that perspective is going to change the prospects. It's going to change what our perspective is of the church. Okay? So, these 12 men, that's enough to have a difference in perspective, is it not? I would say that where Brother Rob works or where any of us works, if we work with 12 or more people, co-workers, that they, if you get them all together, they might have a few common perspectives about the employer. But sooner or later, it's going to go off the rails. Where Rodney works, I promise you that you don't have to get very many together before they disagree on their perspective of who Leggett and Platt is and what it's like to work for them. There's going to be a handful that says, we all see it the same. And then it's going to start disseminating from there. This one says, oh, it's the best place I ever worked. And somebody else is going to say, it's the worst place I ever worked. They're just going to have all these different perspectives. So these 12 men, after spending 40 days doing what Moses said, I believe they really did. I believe they really went and got a perspective. And they come back in verse 25, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and shewed them the fruit of the land. Now, if you haul back a cluster of grapes that took two men. From a small child, I've always been impressed with the size of that grape cluster. If you haul back something like that, that ought to have been an overwhelming, convincing component to convince people that the prospects, the perspective for us in that land was good, right? There's nothing about, now if they brought back a cluster of grapes and it would have fit in one of their pockets, and the grapes were all the size of a soybean, it'd been a totally different perspective, wouldn't it? But I don't know, how big were these grapes? Were they normal grape size or were they plum size? I got to think they were the size of a plum. A nice big plum, by the way. You know, something that was at least silver dollar size in diameter. So that would have been an amazing, and how did, they cut off a branch that had a cluster on. This is big. And they brought this back, and it says, and they told Moses, and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. And I can see them motioning towards this cluster of grapes. This is the fruit of it. Look at what we found over there. And this is not the only one. There was however many more. You ought to saw the grapevine this come off of. Can you imagine? And he says, nevertheless, I got some more to add to my perspective. The people be strong that dwell in that land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people. He could see the direction this was going. And Caleb says, hold on just a minute. I want to add some of my perspective. I was there with all the 12. I saw all of this. I was there when we cut the grapes off of that big vine. I was there when we saw the children of Anak. I was there when we saw all of this. But listen to me. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, now he's going to give his perspective. He says, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. He was communicating his perspective along with the prospects, the prospective of it. And he said, I want to balance out, because it sounds like the perspective of my brethren that I went with, they're starting to tilt this in a way that doesn't sound favorable, and I want to kind of even this out a little bit. Yes, there's some strong people over there. Yes, there's some giants over there, or some big people over there, but we are well able to take the land. He says, but the men that went up with him said, we are not able. Different perspective. They had a different perspective too. Their focus and their perspective was the big people. Their perspective was they had strongholds. And their prospective reflected that. All right? So he says, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched after the children of Israel, saying, the land though through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Now, how did they come to that conclusion? They just said they were stronger than us, and then they turned around and said the land eateth up the inhabitants. That sounded like people were starving. But that's not the case. You know, one of the reasons that Americans are as big as they are is because we've got plenty of food. You move your family to a place where you don't have a lot of food, and the next generation ain't going to be as big. That's just the way it is. But they were contradicting themselves. They said, the people are big, they're strong, but the land eateth up the inhabitants thereof. They got their perspective wrong, okay? He says, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, even if they were all Goliath's height, and all the Israelites were only 5 feet tall, and I don't know how tall they were. Goliath was 9 foot or more, and the Israelites, if they were only 5 foot tall, and I don't know. We know that Saul was probably around 7 foot tall. That's still not grasshopper to man height. That's an exaggeration. But you know, we can have an incorrect perspective. And these 10 had the wrong perspective. And it heavily impacted their prospective. It changed it completely because Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able. Let's go. Look at the grapes, man. This is what we got to look forward to. And the other 10 says, oh no. You know, those people over there, they're so big they make us look like grasshoppers. That was their perspective. What were they laying down when they was looking up at the giants? I don't know, but I don't think they were standing on their feet. It says here, we got to the end there. We saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So the point of my message this morning is I want us to think about what our perspective is. Because our perspective will change what we can visualize as the prospective dramatically. If my perspective is defeat, then I'll never see victory. If my perspective is that I can't win, then it'll always be a prospect of failure and loss. But if my perspective is, we are well able, let's go take the land, we are victors, we are conquerors if we count it so. If we believe the promises that God gives us, that He will be a help in time of trouble, and we take that for our perspective, then we're going to have a prospective of winning, of being successful, of overcoming our struggles, our whether it's a temptation or a trial or disappointment, whatever it is. If our perspective is lined up with the Scripture, our prospect, our perspective is going to be that we're going to have victory, that we're going to have happiness, that we're going to have peace, we're going to have contentment. You know, Isaiah said something in the 61st chapter of Isaiah. Let's turn there and notice what he says. Isaiah 61, beginning in verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Now, his perspective was that God, the Spirit of the Lord, he said, is upon me, because God had a prospective for those that had met harshness, disappointment. He says, to comfort all of those that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Wouldn't you take beauty over ashes? I think all of us would. Didn't they like the grapes? I wonder who carried the grapes back. It said they put it on a pole between two. Was it Joshua and Caleb that carried the grapes back? It would make sense, wouldn't it? They're the only ones that thought they ought to go take the land. Can you imagine? Two of the others that said, oh no, there's giants over there. It makes us look like grasshoppers. Oh, we've got to carry these grapes back. I don't know why we're doing this. We're not going to take that place anyway. You know, it would have been misery. It would have been torture for them to carry the grapes back. Because all it done was add a confusing element to their perspective. It just about had to be Joshua and Caleb. Can you imagine when they stumbled onto the cluster of this grapevine? I'm just trying to imagine. How big was this grapevine? I've had grapevines, wild grapevines, and they're not nothing that could produce a cluster that big. Just no way. This was a big grapevine, folks. Brother Rob said they was carrying at least 200 pounds. I don't know how many miles did they walk with that. I don't believe the ones that had the wrong perspective carried it back. It had to be Joshua and Caleb. It just had to be. And the others would have said, I don't know what you're going to all the trouble for. We're not going to be able to take this. And Joshua and Caleb said, we're going to take it back and show them what's over here. I want them to get the right perspective. I want you to know this morning that there's victory in Jesus. There's healing in Jesus. There is something about serving the Lord that will bring us out into a wealthy place. And I want to carry that that cluster of grapes around to kind of level the playing field. I want to be like Caleb that says, well, hold on just a minute. This is not sounding good. Let me tell you that land over there is worth it, and we can do it by the grace of God. I want to tell you this morning that you can do it. You can rise above the things the enemy wants to crush your spirit with today. You can be victorious. There's a land that flows with milk and honey. There's a land that has the potential, the prospective of being a wealthy place. You don't have to go around thinking that everything around you is just full, infested with giants all the time. But Jesus, when he came, I want us to be 100% convinced that we can have this land. If you look over here in Luke, the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 16, it says, Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it's written. He found Isaiah chapter 61. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again unto the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day, today is the day that this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Because Jesus came, because he's alive today, the song says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, our perspective can be that we have a perspective, a prospective of being successful in this literal life and living for God. Now, I said earlier, I've got a different perspective this morning than you do. Just because I'm standing on a platform at the front of the sanctuary. I see your faces. I can tell when you're sleepy and when you're not. I can see the little children. And, you know, I have a perspective about little children. They're the prospective congregation in the future. Brother Joseph said something at Monarch. He said he had 5 children. He's kind of feeling discouraged about not being able to, you know, see people from the community come in. He said, where would you go to get 5 people to come to church consistently? And he said, I got 5 of them I take every Sunday. We got 5 coming here every Sunday. I want you to think about the prospect that is. Don't listen to those that just see giants. Listen to the Caleb and the Joshua that says we're well able to take this land. I want us this morning to have the perspective that the Lord can bless us in this little congregation. He won't be able to bless us over a bad perspective, but He can bless us with a rich perspective if we'll have the right perspective. You understand what I'm saying? May the Lord help us to have the right perspective like Caleb and Joshua did. I believe you're right, Brother Rob. There wasn't any other two men that would have carried that, lugged that 200 pounds of grapes back. It had to be Caleb and Joshua. They picked up a pomegranate or two, but they didn't. They wasn't going to carry that.
They had something special.
They did.
They had a purpose.
I want others to see what the land has to offer. And you know, sometimes the load that you carry to somebody else gets kind of heavy. But I want to carry that cluster of grapes through my life. I want others to see the perspective and the prospect of what it means to live for the Lord. I want them to be able to have the perspective of being able to inherit a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I want our spirits to be blessed. I want our souls to be blessed. And I want our congregation to be blessed here. I just want to challenge us this morning with that Old Testament story to be a Caleb and a Joshua and be willing to carry that cluster of grapes. Be willing to keep carrying it. The world around us, the other 10, you know, I don't know. I don't think I'm wrong, but I'm guessing that they could have carried at least 5 more clusters back. What if the other 10 had said, well, if you're going to carry a cluster, we're going to cut one off too. A grapevine that big, I mean, have you ever seen a grapevine? It puts on more than one cluster of grapes. A grapevine big enough to make a cluster that was 200 pounds probably had 5 more on it. If it wasn't, there was another one close by. This wasn't the only cluster of grapes that was that big. There could have been 5 more. Because it took 2 to carry one cluster. They could have had 6 clusters of grapes. They could have had 12 people that said, we're well able. Folks, there's some giants over there, but the God that made these grapes grow will help us gain. We're well able to take the land. And they would have had 40 more years to enjoy the Canaan land. Instead, because 10 of them's perspective was bad, their prospect changed entirely. And instead of them going into a land flowing with milk and honey and grapes the size of walnuts, they went stumbling around in the desert for 40 years until they dropped off one by one. The younger generation wishing that they'd all die off so they could finally go into the promised land. Somehow, The Lord has to help us with our perspective so we can pass on a perspective for the next generation. I don't want them to have the perspective of it's all going down anyway. You know, we can give that to them. It's all going to fall apart. No, I don't want to give them that. I want to give them something that says we're well able to take the land. Look at what the Lord's done for us so far. The Lord's there to help us and see us through our troubles. Lord, help us to paint a picture where the next generation coming on will have the right perspective, and they'll have high regards for the perspective that the Lord has. You pray for me.